Well, I'm particularly excited about this morning. My heart is for missions and seeing what God does and hearing what God does around the world. This is Andy Smith. He's going to be sharing this morning about what the Uganda team did when they were gone and they just returned. So I'm super excited. It's going to be a little bit different kind of not normal sermon preaching, but he's going to have them all come up and share some different things. So Andy, you're good to go.
Good morning. Thank you so much. I'm Andy Smith, my wife Karina, or Kiki, as some of you know her, David, Jonathan, and we, together with Lacey and Layla, Nick and Kaya, were the CCC portion of a team from Oregon, Washington, and Canada that went to the Bavuma Islands of Lake Victoria, Uganda, this last month and returned safely, thanks to your prayers. So we praise God for that. Karina and I were missionaries there for many, many years. The boys were born there. And it was so great to go home to see our friends there and family there and to help them with what God put on their hearts to do in the ministry. This morning, we're going to share with you a little bit about what God did, not only through us, but also in our own hearts and lives during this missions trip. But we want to begin this morning by saying a really big thank you to you here at CCC, because we know that without your financial help, both as a church and individuals in this church, this mission couldn't have happened. We wouldn't have been able to go. And the things that God did, we are very cognizant of the fact, as we stand and share stories with you of what God did, we're very aware of the fact and excited to share with you that without you, those lives wouldn't have been changed. Without you, our lives wouldn't have been changed. So we just want to begin by saying a big thank you, and we're going to sing a couple of songs together, and then we're going to go into the message. Thank you.
So please join in with us. We're going to give you a little dabbling of English, Luganda, Swahili. Some of you know these songs, so enjoy them with us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, in my soul. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, in my soul. Wave-ali, yesu. Wave-ali, yesu. Wave-ali, yesu.
Move on here. Wave-ali,
yesu. Wave-ali, yesu, mumoi wange. Asante sana, yesu,
moyo ni. Asante sana, yesu, moyo ni.
The other gods, they are the works of men. You are the most high God.
There is none like you.
And that's why we praise you.
In the morning, that's why we praise you. In the noontime, that's why we praise you. In the evening, that's why we praise you. All the time.
You are so faithful.
You are so faithful. So faithful all the time.
And that's why we praise you.
In the morning, that's why we praise you. In the noontime, that's why we praise you. In the evening, that's why we praise you all the time.
All right. Good job, team. Take this one. Jonathan, Michael. All right. Praise the Lord. Last week, Vernon just gave an outstanding message here at CCC on the topic of living life to the fullest with an eternal
perspective. And this morning, we are going to continue on that exact same theme. That's the before I heard that message, that was what God put in our hearts for the last 3 weeks since we came back from Uganda. That's what's been resonating in our hearts. And it was amazing to me that God was thinking the same way through the leadership of the church and through Vernon. We're on this same theme together last week and this week. Theologians have told us that there are only two things in this world that are eternal: the Word of God and the souls of people. The Word of God and the souls of people. As we share this morning, listen for those two keys as the team shares how God led them and those we met in Uganda to live life to the fullest with this eternal perspective. It's our earnest hope and our prayer this morning that more than listening to us, you listen for the still small voice of the Holy Spirit whispering to your heart what he wants you to do this week here in Homer, maybe even today. Nick, start us off, brother.
Yeah, sure. Praise God.
Amen.
So I've been back for, Nick Boland, this is my home church.
Amen.
I'm so excited. There is more people here today than on Christmas. That can't be an accident. So I've been home for about 3 weeks, and I should say back in the U.S. for about 3 weeks, and I've had time. I've been sharing a little bit with people about the trip, about what God did through the mission and the team. And as this day approached, I started to pray and think about what it was that I would share here with my home church in Homer. And yesterday, God gave me some clarity on that. Bible, please. Got to get the sword. Before I share what that is, in my discipleship group here at CCC, that's for you, David. We've begun a practice of memorization of verses and meditation during the week. It just so happens that the verses this week apply to what God put on my heart yesterday. And this is Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day draw near. Friends, brothers and sisters, the day is drawing near. Jesus is coming back. And I want the testimonies today that you're going to hear to encourage you and to stir you up and to get you sharing it. The thought that I have here is that I see this thing that God did with this mission, and his fingerprints are all over every part of it, from before we left to while we were there and even back home now. There's two parts of this team. There's this right here, some people that are in Canada, or one that's in Canada, and some that are in the lower 48. We were the went part of the team, and you were the sending part of the team, at least for Kaya and I and the folks here in Homer. And I saw a lot of things. I didn't see everything that God did, but I got to witness God saving people and changing lives. And so here's my encouragement to you as you hear these testimonies and when you go home, if you think of nothing that Nick said but just this last little bit, you were part of a team that God used. God used you. He worked through you to touch lives on the other side of the planet. The story I'm about to share real quick is a testimony to that. So just remember that. There, right now, there is more people going to be in heaven because of this mission than there was before, and you are part of that. And maybe next time you'll be on the went part of the team. So let's see, what do we got? There, that's what we're looking for. That picture, I guess it's over there. One night in Uganda, I was having fellowship with some teachers, and out of nowhere comes this opportunity to share my testimony with the secondary school, Living Hope, on the island of Lingera, and it is a partnership with SHIM. And I said, yes. And so we went. And it was, like, I think, the next night, was it, or the day after? But anyway, we were really busy, and I just remember the whole time leading up to it, I don't know what my testimony is going to resonate. How is that going to resonate with young African men or young boys? This would be like junior high to high school. And I was pretty nervous and rattled about it, and I had to go to the Lord. I just, Lord, I need this. I need you to speak. I need you to help me. I need you to get me through this because I just don't understand. And I had no preparation. It was kind of out of the blue where this came from. And so the night we walk over, kind of getting dark, and we get to the school, and this is what you see. And as I looked out there, it's just a bunch of kids all gathered around. And we have Pastor John in the back. That's Kiki's father. He was on the mission team. There's Andy somewhere in there. And then the man in the suit next behind me, that's Julius. He was the first speaker. He was sharing about a vocational opportunity that is available to the kids. And as he started speaking, bats came out of the rafters. And they're like zooming around his head. And he's just laser. Like he doesn't even, and he used to be a teacher there. So maybe this is something he's used to, but not this guy. I don't want nothing to do with bats. And I'm having a hard time even getting a share. So as soon as this moment hits with these bats, I'm like, oh, this is great. I'm going to honor God by going like this. And then one will probably stick to my face. Yeah. So, and then, you know, there's that. So if you know me, that's not a good thing. The end is this. God filled me with his Holy Spirit, and I spoke like I didn't think I could speak. And I prayed so deeply and earnestly for those boys and their salvation and for the boys in that school that were already saved. And then afterwards, Andy came, and he asked him, he said, I'll paraphrase because it was a little bit, but he offered, come down. Come down here in front of the school. If you're ready, if you don't wait, if you want to be, if you want to be saved, you get down here. And he came down, and as we made this offer, Andy and I locked arms, and we sang a song called I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And as Andy and I sang, the Lord moved, and one by one by one, I think we got 12 to 13 young men came down and gave their life to the Lord. And they were so, just so full of joy. And I remember Andy going over the seriousness of this covenant, of this commitment, that there's no turning back. And those boys were serious. And I'm telling you, this is just so amazing, right? So then the next day, Andy and I are about to have dinner, and we're going over testimonies for the day. And Andy goes, you're not going to believe this, Nick. I'm like, what? What could get better than that? And he goes, a pastor told me today that some of those boys that were in that moment were out in another village today. Or today, the next day, sharing the gospel. Praise God. Only God can do these things. Yes. Yes. And I wait. I think God knows that I have a hard time believing. So when we were all loading up on the last day to get in the boats, here comes three boys. Those guys right there. And they're like, from the other night. Remember, David? From the other night. Just to see me off. I'm just telling you guys. Kara said before we left, she said to these girls, she said, I caught the tail end of it, but it was, go, don't worry about what you're going to do when you get there, just obey. That's what we did. God was so faithful. And then I just want to say thank you to you because you're on this team. This is your testimony too. Like you prayed before we left. You prayed while we were there. You prayed when we came back. You opened your hearts and your pocketbooks and you did this. You obeyed. Thank you. And praise God for you and all the work that he's doing through SHIM and Uganda. And just get started with this thing. There's so many great testimonies. Thank you for letting me share with you today.
So I want to start us off with this verse from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Pastor Samson in Uganda has been going planting churches in places formerly possessed by witchcraft. His wife died 4 years ago, and his daughter Tina was pulled into witchcraft. The demons told her to disorganize the church by making conversations with the people sitting around her so that she would get the attention to herself instead of Jesus. This went on until she was delivered. I was challenged to not get so frustrated immediately, so quickly, of the happenstances, but instead realize I need to pray because it's not just chances. It's spiritual warfare a lot of the time. Some examples of what happened to our team as we prepared to go are these. Grampy cut his leg with a chainsaw, and when we were about to go, Mom got sick and it was possible that she would have to have a surgery. Our cousin Corey's passport was delayed, and our bags were trekked to Rwanda instead of Uganda.
The devil's such a liar.
And as we were leaving Uganda, our car broke down in the capital city on the highway. But all of this could not stop God's plan from happening. Thank you.
Amen.
Hi. My name is Lacey. I went on this trip not really knowing what would come of it, besides that I knew that God would change my heart in bigger ways than I even really expected. While we were there, there's something that hit me immediately because of the people that we met. The people that we met in Uganda, their heart for the Lord is bigger than I've seen anywhere else. And I found a reason for that in the way that they lived. They lived devoted to God with every minute of their time. Every second of their time, they lived devoted to God, praising Him, telling others about Him, and loving Him, and sharing with others that love. And that's because of their desperation for God. Where they live, a lot of people fight to even have the minimum things that they would need to live. Here we have that covered. I mean, it's not like poverty doesn't exist here, but a lot of the people in this church, we don't have to worry about the things we need to live. We move past that and we have comfort that distracts us from God. We have all these extra things that we don't need. And I have some verses I'd like to share from Job, and I want to use him as an example of what we should do and what the people in Uganda are doing. Job 1:1-3. There was a man in the land of Uz, his name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. He had everything he'd need and more. And he showed his devotion to God during all of that. And when Satan took each of these things away, one by one, in Job 1:20-22, then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped, and he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall I return there." The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. With nothing or with more than we need, either way, we should be devoted to God in our daily lives. We should be desperate for God, because the only thing we need, as in Sky's first song today, the only thing we need is God. So we need to be desperate for that. That is what's going to save us. None of the things that entertain us or comfort us through our daily lives. He is the only person that we need validation, that we need comfort, that we need to live. We don't even need shelter, food, or water, because he will give it to us if we have him. And that is what the people in Uganda displayed for me. Every moment that I interacted with them was full of joy and love for the Lord, even if they were going through the hardest of things. With all the spiritual warfare there, and it is, there's so much spiritual warfare there. They recognized that. And they pushed through, they fought in that warfare, so that they could have God at every moment that they could. That's what I have to share.
I'm Kaya. Some of you know this is not my favorite place to be up here, so please bear with me. I just wanted to thank everybody, though, for all of the prayers going into this trip. There were so many answered prayers before, during, and after the trip. Some examples being sopping wet visas, drying out on time, and delays and diversions with flights, and there was all sorts of things on the way there. I would just like to share with you a couple conversations and experiences that we had. That was one of them. Was pretty cool for our anniversary. But Kiki had kept telling Nick and I that she had a couple, a young couple, Amuli and Nancha, that she wanted us to meet. And they were fairly new believers also, just in the last few years. We went to their house, and Nick and I got to share our testimonies as one together for the first time, I think, ever so far. And that was a pretty cool experience. So then after we shared, Nancha and Amuli shared their testimonies. And at the end of Amuli's testimony, he sang us a song, and that was a song that he had written right after he was saved. And at the end of his song, he just started sobbing, and he put his head in his hands, and he was just crying. And I looked to Kiki for translation, and she said that he was just crying out to God, like, help me to know you. I want to know your word, and I want to know you more. This was heavy because I knew Amelie didn't know how to read. His desire to know God and know God's word despite not being able to read was so convicting, and I left his house wanting to know God more. As we returned back to the Shim compound, there was another couple waiting for us to talk to Nick and I. That had been this couple here. They had been trying to get us throughout the last couple days. So we finally got to sit down with them, and they said, we just felt like we had this message to share with you, and the message is, take care of the firstborn first. That meaning, she said, get to know him, know what makes him happy, know what makes him sad, know what makes him smile. Go to the secret place and pray to him. Get to know him and center your household around him. The next day, Stella gave me a note that had Psalm 91, 1 through 2 on it. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I just encourage you all, when you pick up your Bibles, don't pick them up to check off a box. And I am guilty of doing that. But pick up your Bible with the intent and the desire to know God more.
I'm so sorry.
Good morning, I'm Kiki, and this is really special to share today, especially as you all are getting ready for the Vacation Bible School coming up. We are so excited for you doing that. We will be this week on the Aleutian Islands doing Vacation Bible School out there. Thank you for looking at the souls of the children. I wanted to share a little of the backstory of Nancha and Amuli that Kaya and Nick were talking about. So Nancha is our dishwasher up at the Shim compound. And she faithfully washed the dishes every day and then came to a birthday party. And as I'm sure you do at all three-year-old birthday parties, the parents gave the gospel. And Nancha gave her life to Jesus. This was a problem because her husband, Amuli, is Muslim and is from a very strong, known Muslim family. And they said, there is no way you can allow this Christian to stay in your home. So you have to get rid of her, push her out. And he was in a mind to do the same thing, get rid of this lady, even though she had they had a child together and she was expecting another one. But then Amuli got sick, very sick, so sick. They took him to all the witch doctors, and they spent their money, cut their chickens, and nothing worked. Finally, Amuli came to our base leader, to Richard, and said, pray for me. I'm going to die. They all tell me I'm just going to die. And Richard told him, Amuli, Jesus is going to heal you. And when he does, you come back and remember, give your life to Christ. That is exactly what happened. Jesus healed him. Amuli came back. He gave his life to Christ. They have been struggling now with many things from the family. One of the first things they did after he got saved was that they got married. They wanted to have a wedding, to make a covenant with each other and everyone to know that they were committed to each other now as a Christian couple. And the family said, we are not coming. We won't be here. And God worked in the hearts of the family, and he is still at work, so pray for them. Now, there's another story that comes in. The first week that we were on the island, before the rest of the Homer team came, we had some dear friends from South Africa. And as we were there together on the island, they said, we've brought these four audio Bibles that a friend drove all the way from Namibia to give us audio Bibles in the local language here in Lusoga and Luganda. Do you know who these Bibles should be for? So immediately we started giving them to people that had been asking us in the past, I want a Bible, I want to hear the word of God, I cannot read. But the last one, I told them, I think I know who this is for, but I just need to find out for sure. Well, Amuli is the person who had been on my heart. So the day we went with Nick and Kaya to Amuli and Nancha's house, and we're sitting there, and they're sharing their testimonies together. It was so beautiful to see both of these young couples in the Lord just talking and sharing with each other how Christ had brought them into salvation from the darkness into light. And then Amuli begins to sing a song that he had written. And his song says, thank you, God, for bringing the pastors who told me the word of God. Thank you, God, for your word, which has kept me from backsliding. Thank you, God, you broke the covenants with the devils. Thank you, God, for your word. And he goes on, it's centered around the word of God. And then he said, God, I want to know your word. God, help me to know your word. Katonda, yamba kumani kutegere echigambo cho. And he keeps singing this phrase over again. And finally, he just sobs. He puts his head in his hands and down on his knees, and he just begins sobbing. God, I want to know your word. And I said, Lord, I heard that pretty clearly. That Bible was for him. So the second person that I wanted to share about was another one that God put on our hearts. This young man, Samu, also cannot read. And he had come, he wanted me to see his new baby. So he came, brought me the new baby so we could look at his baby and have tea together and talk. And as we did, it was strong on my heart that this was time for his salvation. He's also in a Muslim family. Later that day, we walked down to the village together, and with my niece and my sister and Kaya, and some of us were all just walking down in the village, and we stopped at Semu's house, and his young wife, Amina, was there, and I said to my niece, "Your age mates, could you pray for Amina?" My niece says, she's 20, she says, "What do I pray?" You know, for a Muslim lady with kids all around her. And Amina says, "Well, I'm 20. I'm also 20. And so Corey prays and just says, "God, she needs to know you. Help her to know you. Help salvation to come to their family so that their children can know you." We get up back to our house that afternoon and find my dad is waiting on the porch, all excited. He'd been down in the village with Pastor Sampson, and in the meantime was able to share the gospel with a few Muslim men. Those Muslim men were Shemu and his father and a friend of theirs. And when they asked, Shemu's father said, "I want to get saved." And of course, Shemu then agreed, I want to get saved too. What we hadn't known was that the week before, our base leader, Richard, had had Sem on his heart, and he took him up into the forest and began to explain the way of salvation to him and asked him, why are you waiting? What is holding you back? And Semu said, "You know, I come from this Muslim family. For me, I cannot step away. I can't. For me, I would love salvation, but I cannot step away from the family." So what did God do? Brought the dad, yes. So just want to encourage you, when you hear God speaking to you, realize you are just a piece in the line of what God is doing in the hearts of people around you. Step out, make that step, and see God work.
Hi, my name is Layla. So when I sat down to decide what I wanted to talk about today, I knew immediately. My favorite memory of the trip is by far experiencing God's faithfulness over and over and over again. One of the simplest yet most powerful testimonies of mine from Uganda is when God helped me to share the gospel. And this one means a lot to me. And I say simple because I asked God to give me courage and the words to say, and he did. But it changed my life. I had never shared told the story of the gospel directly and led others in a salvation prayer before. I had always been afraid. But after I had actually done it, I now know that I can do it moving forward. And afterward, immediately, God filled me with this so much confidence and passion to continue sharing the gospel. It changed me, and I thank God for that. Another time that everyone else has been talking about, we went to Nansha and Amuli's house to visit them, and we got to hear their testimony, and then in return, Nick and Kaya gave their testimony. And as they were speaking, I felt God tell me, "You should share your testimony." I'm like, "I don't really want to do that." I would if someone asked me to, but I don't want to speak up and just say, "I want to share my testimony." So I'm just praying, like, "Lord, I need you. Please help me to obey you. Please give me courage." Even though in the back of my mind, I'm like, "I know I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say yes." So I'm just, this is an internal struggle right now. Anyway, so they finished giving their testimonies, and we pray. And then Kiki, she turns and looks at me and says, "Layla, is there anything you would like to say?" So part part of me is like in shock. The other part, thankful that God answered my prayer. The other laughing at him because he was so direct about it. Anyway, so I say that I want to tell my testimony, and I do, and that was just very special. So, and there are just so many more testimonies from the trip. And I love the Lord for showing me more about his faithfulness and him during the trip. So I want to end with this verse from Psalms that God gave me in Uganda to help me. Psalms 103, 2 through 4. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Note that word, those words, all his benefits. "Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy." Again, those words, forget not all his benefits. Or don't forget. Don't forget all his benefits. God is so good, beyond our understanding. We get amnesia, we forget, and we certainly cannot comprehend his goodness. But he gives us so much, way more than we deserve. God is reaching out to you. But he is also waiting for you to receive it. Imagine how much closer we would be to his love, his peace, truth, and his will if we sought him out as well, if we met him at the distance. It is only the more we seek God that the closer we will be and the more we will know him. We can't just wait for him. And no matter how much we seek him, we will always need him more, and he will always have more for us if we choose to receive it. God is teaching me all of this, and that I will always need him, how much I need him, and that when we do seek him, he's there and has so much for us, more than we realize. So I am thankful that God graciously revealed to me his faithfulness during this trip and gave that to my heart. Thank you.
Hi, I'm David, and Dad asked me to share about what God's been doing in my heart since this Uganda trip. And so as I prayed about what he wanted me to share, I felt like I should share about eternal perspectives. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "For we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So let me ask you a question. How often do we elevate things of this world, temporary things, above things that are eternal, like people, God? And so imagine you're walking down the aisle in the grocery store, and you're consumed, your whole thought, everything, you're consumed with your new car, and you're not listening to God, and you don't listen to him telling you to go talk to the other person who's walking, who goes by you. But suppose you're walking and you're listening to God, and you go and talk to that person, you hear his whisper, and you go and talk to that person, and that person gets saved. And then when you get to heaven, that person comes to you and says, "Thank you so much for sharing the gospel with me. I got saved, and then I shared the gospel with other people, and they got saved. They shared the gospel with other people. So thank you for sharing the gospel with me. And now all these people are in heaven because you obeyed God." So in Uganda, some high school students, some of the same ones that got saved when Nick shared his testimony, they fasted for a week. They fasted their lunches, and that is very hard. We fasted lunches Friday and Saturday, last Friday and Saturday, and that was not fun. It was very miserable and very hungry, and you don't have any energy, and you're like, oh, this is not fun. We were painting the house at the same time, too, so. Yeah, it's not something very easy, and So they fasted their lunches for their upcoming mission trip. So on Saturday, they went on that mission trip to share the gospel with the neighboring village and go and clean the village up and just basically service like we did a few months ago. So then we fasted and prayed for the upcoming VBSs, and yeah, it was not fun. And we only did it for 2 days. They did it for a whole week. And adult scared high school students can share the gospel. What about you and me? Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Isn't that encouraging and exciting? Except for the part about that poor boy's slave driver parents. Please don't turn us in. We do feed them usually. David shared about the Nakalanga village, the outreach that those students went on. I wanted to share a little bit about that ministry. As Nick shared about those students who went out, and David did as well. This is what also touched my heart the most when we were there in Uganda, is this church in Nakalanga was a recent church plant. They had just started 3 months ago when the pastor went there after fasting and praying and for a Saturday, and 48 people confessed Christ. The very next morning, on Sunday morning, half of them, 24, showed up under that tree for church service. And that was how the church started. And they began worshiping God under that tree. Shortly after that, a local villager in that village allowed them to use his goat shed that he had recently built and hadn't put the goats in yet, thankfully. And so he said, hey, I don't need it yet. You can use this while you're building your own building. And so now they've been meeting in the goat shed and seeking God there and spending time with him there. And so we were there. We had the opportunity to be in that village, in that church, Saturday and Sunday when they did the outreach. They asked me to preach there. This is the first time, Pastor David, you're going to like this, first time in my whole life that I went to a church to preach, and before I even got up to speak, 5 people had given their lives to Christ. It was incredible. I thought, why am I speaking? Why? We're done. I mean, God's already done. The Holy Spirit's done his work. We can go home. Because what they did is they just started introducing visitors. And so one stands up, says, they had visitors stand up in their church. Aren't you glad that Pastor David's not like that? Because if you're a visitor, stand up. We want to meet you. So this lady stands up. She says, I'm so-and-so. And in typical African fashion, they got in her face and said, are you born again yet? She said, no. That's why I came. I came to get saved. They said, praise the Lord. Come on up front. We'll pray for you right now. So she comes up front. The next person, the next visitor stands up. She knows what the question's going to be. She says, I'm so-and-so, and I came to get saved too. They said, praise God, come on up front. 5 ladies, one after another, they come up front, and they give their lives to Christ. Here's the worship service as we're there. They packed the house. I mean, all these, we had students that came from our Christian high school. They came to help lead and stuff. They had to get out of the building to make room on the benches because there just wasn't room in that goat shed for everybody to come. Because God's doing a work in their village. Praise the Lord. There's the 5 women on their knees accepting Christ before the preacher even got it to preach. You might be here this morning. Maybe you came here to get saved. Now, I'm not going to have you do that right now. We're going to pray. But at the end of the service, you'll have a chance to give your life to Christ. So be thinking about that. You came to church for a reason this morning. If you've not yet given your life to Jesus Christ, today is the day, just like these ladies, just like Nick's buddies, today's the day for you. So anyway, we're there, and it was incredible. I was impressed that those students fasted lunches for a week. It really convicted me. You know, when they went and they cleaned up the village, they got their hands dirty, they mudded an old man's house. And one of the ladies who got saved, one of these ladies, she testified in the church. She said, I came today because when I saw what you students did yesterday, serving and helping, I knew that there was love in this church. And so I came to give my life to Jesus. Praise the Lord. We were reminded of what we did a few months ago, David, in the community, serving in the community. That's servanthood. That's Jesus said, I came to serve, right? Not to be, the Son of Man came to serve, not to be served. So anyway, they saw that testimony, and they gave lives to Christ. When those students were just in the community on Saturday, over 40 people gave their lives to Christ that day because they were willing to sacrifice and obey and go and share the gospel. Praise the Lord. I want to share about this couple. I haven't actually met them. I heard about them from one of our Ugandan friends when we were there. This is David and Agnes Wamalwa.
David and Agnes, I hit the button. David and Agnes have been together for a long time. They have children, they have grandchildren. But they've been so poor that they could not afford to pay the bride price or pay for the subsequent wedding. All these years, they had never gotten married. They couldn't afford it. And early in their relationship, I don't think they saw it as something important until they came to Christ. But our friends there in the ministry, our Ugandan team that we left there on the ground, they had been helping people to see the importance of marriage, and they were helping them to find ways to do weddings more inexpensively. And so they were talking to David and his wife, and they said, well, we don't think we can afford it. Well, I said, well, you pray about it. And they prayed about it, and felt like God was saying, yes, I want you to wed. I want you to show an example to your children and your grandchildren of what Christian couples should do. And so they said, well, we think God's telling us to do this, but we don't know how we're going to afford it. I said, well, you pray. You pray. So they prayed, and God said, yes, that's what I want you to do. So they began to go in the process of preparing for a wedding. First step was to try to go to her family and negotiate the bride price. And I assume her parents are dead. I don't even know this, but I assume. So she would have gone to the family, the uncles, the cousins, to negotiate this thing. And God was with them. God blessed them as they prayed. And the family forgave the entire bride price and said, you just get married. So they praise God. They were so excited, and they begin the process, but they still don't have a dollar to their name. So they're like, Lord, what are we going to do? In fact, they didn't even have their own mud hut. They were living in a room in the pastor's house. They had nothing, completely nothing. No job. They're just in a level of poverty there. It's hard for us as Americans to imagine. As the time got closer to the wedding, David called Ronnie, who was leading the wedding preparations, and he said, Pastor Ronnie, I just don't think we can make it. We just don't have any money to feed our guests when they come. We just don't have the money. We can't raise enough money. And Ronnie says to David, he says, David, did God tell you to raise money or to pray and get married? He said, pray. All right. And Ronnie told him, you do your part, and you let God do his. So they said, okay, we will trust God. And so they trusted God. And right about that time, a local farmer called their pastor, or I don't know if he called him or he went to him, probably went to him, said, Pastor, do you have anyone in your church that can help me? I want to build a big banana plantation, and I need people to dig banana pits. Banana pits are like 4 feet wide or 5 feet wide by about 4 feet deep. They're big, big holes in the ground. He says, do you have people in your church to be willing to do that work? I'll pay them X amount per hole, and they can dig as many as they want. He said, you know, I think I have somebody. So David got all excited, and he began to work and dig that, and even some friends in church joined him, not for their own money, but to help raise money for David's wedding. And so they dug and dug and dug and dug, and the wedding was on Saturday. On Thursday night, they finished digging enough holes to make enough money to buy the food to feed their guests. And so they finished digging on Thursday night. Friday, they got cleaned up, get ready for the wedding on Saturday, and another miracle is the guy actually paid him on time, which is definitely a miracle. So anyway, they get ready for the wedding, and he doesn't even have a best man. He doesn't have anything. He doesn't have groceries. So Ronnie just assigns him a best man, the office boy at Shim, and says, this will be your best man. He's a young man. He's single. He's like 20. I don't know what he knows, you know, about weddings, but he's been in one or two, so he at least had done that. This guy had never been in a wedding before. So anyway, he says, okay, I'll help you. So he says, in Uganda, the best man is the one who helps the groom with everything. He says, let's start with, what are you going to wear? What are we going to wear tomorrow? He says, you're looking at it. And he has this patched, ragged, dark-colored shirt. And the boy says, the young man says, I just don't think that's going to do it. You don't have anything like a clean shirt or a white shirt? Maybe it's like a whitish shirt you could wear? No, I don't have anything like that. Do you have any money left over? You could maybe buy a shirt for your wedding. No, I don't have a shilling. We spent it all on food for the guests. It's all we've got. You know, we just finished digging yesterday. He says, okay. Let's go start going around the village to all your friends and see if anybody has a white shirt they'll loan you. And they did. And they found a shirt. And there he is in his shirt, you know, the borrowed shirt for his wedding. This is the level of poverty these guys are in. Because they obeyed God, and they wedded, and they were so excited. Their children came, their grandchildren came, their nieces and nephews came, the whole family came to see grandma and grandpa get married. What in the world? So incredible situation. Incredible thing. And as they're getting married, their nephew, whose parents had died, so in Ugandan culture, he's at the wedding now. Because they came together for the wedding, he lives far away. Daddy, don't we have anything like land in our family? No, son, we don't have anything like land. We're poor people. But Daddy, what about the grandparents back? They had to have something like land at some point. No, if we had land, we wouldn't be living here. Obviously, we don't have anything like land in our family. But Daddy, are you sure? There's nothing like land in our family. Well, way back when I was a child, I remember something about my dad. Maybe we went somewhere and looked at land. Or something. I thought it was long. Daddy, I have transport in my pocket. I'm taking you. We're going to go to that village, and we're going to look and trace for that land and see what happened about it. Okay, you have your money. So they got in a boat, traveled off the island to the mainland, got a taxi, not a taxi, they say in taxi in Uganda, a public bus to the village, probably several buses to get to the deep village, farming country. They come to this village, and the very first house they come to, hut, there's an old man sitting out front. And they come to the old man and they say, they greet, and greetings take a long time in Uganda, but they greet for a while. Then they ask the man, they say, have you ever heard the name of so-and-so, this David's father? Have you ever heard the name Mzee? Have you ever heard the name Mzee, old man? Have you ever heard the name of this man or know anything about his affairs from back in those days? The old man looks at him and he says, please forgive me. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I know you. This is an old man. I know you. I remember when you and your dad came here when you were a little boy. One moment, and he goes into his hut. After a minute, he comes out holding a piece of paper. And he says, I remember when you came. Your dad bought land and told me to give it to you when you became an adult. But I never intended to give it to you. Here is the title to your 5-acre farm. Hallelujah. Praise God. He was in utter shock, as you can imagine. This is a man who could not afford a shirt for his wedding. And he owns a 5-acre farm in a fertile area of Uganda. He called Ronnie on the phone, Pastor, we have land, Pastor, we have land. He was so excited. God knows how to bless his people, how to take care of his people. And he knows when to do it. Did you get the connection? Did God tell you to raise money or God tell you to pray? Boy, God can do good stuff. Obedience is simple, but it sure isn't easy. But God is often waiting on the other side of that compromise, waiting for that obedience to bless us and to touch our hearts. We've been talking this morning about an eternal perspective. The two eternal things we can invest in here in this life, the Word of God and the souls of people. What is God asking you to do today? What is God asking of you? It might be for you to get courage like Layla was talking about and share Jesus with a friend or family member or maybe someone you don't even know. Maybe it's to help with VBS next week. I know they need help. Over 300 kids coming, something like that. They definitely need help. Maybe God's speaking to you about that. Maybe, I don't know. Here's the great thing about God. Pastor David can be up here preaching on Sunday morning with all the things he's prepared that God has given to share. And the Holy Spirit can be talking to us here in the audience all the while he's talking, whispering in our heart, that still small voice, this is what I want you to do. And he just tells us something, and you're like, oh man, I didn't want to. It's usually I didn't want to do that. It's almost always I don't want to do that. That's why you know it's God, right? He wouldn't have to tell you to eat that chocolate cake. You do it anyway. If it's something you don't want to do, God's speaking something to your heart. What is he asking you to do? That's what you need to do today, this week. Right now, what's the Holy Spirit whispering to your heart? Maybe you're here this morning like the 12 boys that Nick shared the gospel with that came to get saved, like the gals that Layla talked about that gave their hearts to Jesus, like the five ladies at the church. Maybe you came today to get saved or to hear about Jesus Christ. Today's the chance. We're going to sing a song in just a second. We're going to sing a song. And worship team, if you could come on up. We're going to, whoever's doing that, we're going to sing a song. I'm not going to beg, cajole, whatever. We're not going to waste time. We're going to sing 10,000 verses of Just As I Am. We're just going to sing one song. And if God's speaking to your heart, today you need to get saved, then get out of your seat and come on up here. That's what I told the students. I was a little bit, I said, get off your butt and come up here. Because, sorry if that offends you. Hey, look, this is your chance. This is your chance. Come on up and we'll pray with you. Lead you to Jesus Christ. David is here. I'm not usurping the pastorate. He's here. Pray with you to come to Jesus Christ. He'll lead you to Jesus. This is your chance. While we sing, just come and we'll pray with you. And you can give your life to Jesus Christ and start this incredible journey with him. After we do that, we're going to go into time of communion, and I'll lead that. This is your time. Go ahead and be ready. I'd like you to go ahead and stand up. You might not be new, or you might have been coming to church for a while. Maybe we just assumed you're born again, but you haven't given your life to Jesus yet. This is a great time to just make that official and come to Christ. You might be a kid here with your parents, and they've been bringing you to church, some days dragging you by the ear. But today you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you. I was like you once. My parents took me to church when I liked it, when I didn't like it. And one day I remember the pastor preaching, and I remember my heart getting faster as he said, it's time for you to get saved. My heart got beating really fast, and I started sweating in the palms, and I sweat and run down my face. I didn't want to go. What a special thing it is to be in the family of God, to be bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. As we celebrate communion this morning, let's remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. I'm reminded of Emily, who wrote a song worshiping God and thanking God that he had broken the blood covenants his family for generations had made with the demons. And he said, now, by the blood of Christ, I'm a child of God. And as we take communion, we're reminded of the blood that Jesus shed for us, the body, his body is broken for us, that we could become children of God. If you belong to Jesus Christ this morning, whether you attend this church or you're visiting from another church, we invite you to join us. If you've not yet come to Christ, this is a time for believers to celebrate the body, the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you feel God's tugging your heart to get saved and you just didn't have the courage to do it right at that moment, as we come up the aisle to take communion, just join in and then go to one of these guys in the corners here praying. They'll pray with you and lead you to Christ. If you want prayer for any other reason, there's just some struggles in your life, whatever, or what, just come talk to them, pray with them. That's what they're there for, and it's a really special opportunity. As we come forward, let me just pray, and then the worship team will take it away. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time together. Thank you for what you did in Uganda the last few weeks. God, the transformations, the eternal difference that was made in people's lives because this church sent us out as a team and because this team was willing to go. Lord, I pray that this week you would make each of us willing to go, whether it's to Africa, whether it's to Asia, whether it's to South America, whether it's right next door to our neighbor or to someone in our own home. God, give us the courage that you gave to Layla and Lacey and Nick and Kaya, David and Jonathan and Karina and I and the rest of the team, just to open our mouths and let you speak through us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross to purchase our salvation and our forgiveness. It's in his name we pray. Amen.